Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
Welcome to another episode of Compliance Pointers. I'm here with Michael Nato from our data privacy team here at Compliance Point. Michael, good to have you on.
Appreciate it.
First time?
Yep. Okay. I'm at this, so we'll see how I do.
Oh, you're going to do just fine. And this is an important topic, I think, and one that I know personally you've helped a lot of our clients with, are very knowledgeable about. And I have, I've seen the aha moments with clients, or the, oh, really, when you've done work with them. So I think this is going to be good. We're going to be talking about cookies.
Yeah. Fun topic.
Not those type of cookies.
Yeah. No. Not like chocolate chip. Probably these are the ones that no one really knows what's happening with.
That's right. So everybody hears about it, and they're probably listening or watching this podcast right now and going, oh, great, here's another one about cookies. But we're gonna get detailed here. We're going to talk technical. We're going to talk about the things you can see from a website pretty quickly just by browsing it from where you are, you know, in terms of how they've configured their cookies, you know, what they're tracking, who they're sharing with, so on and so on. There's a lot, really, that you can tap into just from browsing their website. There's a lot you can tell about the technology they're leveraging and how they're leveraging it. Are they doing it the right way? And that mixed with your regulatory background really makes you pretty powerful for organizations that are falling into the common pitfalls with cookies, where they buy a solution, they think it's turnkey, they plug it in, and it's not even doing what they're paying it to do. Not because it can't do it, but because it's not configured correctly, right? Would you agree with that assessment?
For sure.
So brief background on Michael for our viewers and listeners. He's an 11-year vet at Compliance Point. He's an actual vet, served in the Air Force. Thank you, Michael. And his background is really more information security, cybersecurity focused. However, if you're listening or watching and you're familiar with data privacy laws and regulations and requirements, there's a security nature to it for sure. And Michael's very technical too. So while he's a senior consultant on our privacy team, he really leads and is our go-to for technical implementation, for the security components, architecture, if you even will, and configurations with organizations using privacy management software or not. Caveats, additions?
Sums it up.
Yeah. Anything I missed?
No, I think you summed it up pretty well.
He's a Braves fan. He spent some time in middle Georgia.
Yeah, you know? Kind of grew up, I don't know, 15 minutes from each other in the middle of nowhere, which is quite close.
Not quite 15 minutes from each other, but yeah, it was interesting to learn. Later on how close we did actually go to high school together. Somewhere. Not together, apart. Yeah. All right, so like I told you, no script, we're just winging it.
Yep.
What's a cookie?
A cookie is on your browser. It stores information about your session, and then based off of that, it can actually, when you revisit the website, it can say, oh, this is Michael revisiting the website, and it can do certain services like, let's say you put a password in or a username, it can identify that, oh, well, he's visited previously, he's put a username and password, let's instead of next time he visits the website, instead of, you know, making him enter the username and password, I'll just pre-populate it because I stored it in a cookie. That's one instance of it, but it really has been used in various ways, which these are where the privacy laws came from, such as like retargeting people, doing analytics. So it's really capturing information about you as a user and then doing something with it.
As a website visitor, right?
Yes, as a website
visitor. For some good reasons, to your point, password retention, assuming they practice good security methodology. But password retention, you know, convenience of things you want to look at a site. Like, there's a lot of positives to it, too. But, you know, human nature is human nature. It's very valuable. Your activity and what you do when you go on sites and how long you're on and what other things you go to and how you click through it. And that's that's very valuable to partners or others, not necessarily just the organization you're visiting, but who they're working with, yeah. Right?
I mean, there's people out there that make money off of data. And what's a good way to collect data? Oh, they're browsing the web. Let's see how much information we can collect on them and then sell that data.
So how about just a summary? So now we know what cookies are. GDPR, CCPA, other state data privacy law says what about cookies? Generally, maybe not all of them, all the different nuances, but what's the general understanding that if I want to abide by your average data privacy law, this is what I need to do around cookies?
Yeah. To sum it up, it's really all about being transparent about what cookies on your web, what are on your website, and making sure you respect users' privacy choices. Now, that can vary from GDPR to the state laws. There's these things called opt-in and opt-out requirements. So, for example, when you're in the EU, if you visit a site, the business is required to make sure that you opt into the use of the cookies before placing those cookies. In the US, it's a little bit different, but it's all about being transparent to the users about the use of cookies on that website, as well as giving them a preference on what cookies they want to allow versus not to allow.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that everybody that's listening or watching this has seen a cookie banner, has gone to a website and said, hey, by continuing or by clicking OK, you're agreeing to our cookies policy. And where you're talking about opt-in versus opt-out really depends on the regulation or where you are. In Europe, what you're saying is you can't just default start tracking their cookies and doing what you want with their cookies without their consent. You need their consent to do that when they first visit your website. Whereas here with you in the US, you can start doing all that sort of stuff. You need to make the disclosure. You need to make it known to them that they're doing it and allow them to opt out to it, but you can do it by default. Do I have that right?
That is right. Now there's something under SEPA. They're using wiretapping litigation law as a loophole to come after businesses. Right now, there is a bill
in draft. Hold on. Okay. So that's right. So that's the opt-out versus opt-in. Now you're getting to this next piece, and this is where we're getting into the importance of ensuring you're configuring it right. Before we talk about SEPA,
okay,
because I want to get to that, what, just knowing that with the opt-in, opt-out nature and using a privacy management software and using their cookie module, and there's several out there. I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar. OneTrust, Asana, Catch probably has one, other organizations. SEPA aside, what do you see mistakes organizations are making, whether, you know, and we're talking mainly opt out here in the US, are making with how they're implementing their cookie solutions or how they're maybe doing it themselves?
Yeah. So with these cookie solutions, typically you get the cookie solutions, and I like to break them into two phases of implementation. You have the cookie banner and the preference center phase, where you're getting the cookie banner up. So when users visit, they can see the cookie banner, or they can interact with the preference center. The second phase is the actual blocking piece of it. And the blocking piece is very, very important. So you're talking about an opt-in regime. Technically, when someone visits the site, you need to be blocking all the cookies before they opt in. And then for opt-out, if you're in the US, if someone visits the site, you must honor those preferences by blocking the cookies. A lot of times organizations are good at that
phase one. If they select it.
Organizations are very good at that phase one portion of it, of actually serving the banner, because these tools make it very easy to do the settings on the back end. They give you a script. You place that script on the website. Boom. You have your cookie banner. You have your preference center. And to businesses, they think they're ready to go. But these cookie consent solutions, there's also a second phase where they actually have to go in and configure the blocking. And that's the big piece that a lot of the organizations miss, is they, it's not like they do it on purpose. They're just unaware that there's actually two phases here. It's not just like a plug and play, put this on your website, you have a banner, you have a preference center, you're good to go. You need to make sure you're doing the blocking piece as well.
and I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that phase one, okay, got it, whatever, off the shelf, put it in, good. We're putting the cookie solution to block them if they request it. Why is phase two in the configuration to actually do that and execute on it? Why is that a miss for so many organizations?
I think a lot of these cookie consent tools advertise themselves as a plug and play. I don't think they really want to advertise a lot of times the amount of work that goes in on the back end to actually do the blocking piece. And then sometimes it's also just the organization may not have the resources to do it. They may get the banner up, preference center, and then they have to go into the phase two, and they realize it's a lot more in depth than that plug and play, and they just don't really have the resources or
they give up on it, they pull in a different direction, or they don't have the expertise, or it's about, I see a lot of ownership within the organization. Well, that's a privacy issue. No, yep. Well, we need development or website or IT or whomever to manage it. Well, we got plenty of other fires we're putting out before we do that. Okay. So that brings us to SIPA, though, because you might be asking yourself, okay, so we're doing part one. Maybe phase two is not happening, but nobody is being, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but thus far, there have not been a lot of fines issued out against organizations from states for not honoring a individual's cookie preferences. Not to say that there can't be or there won't be, or that there shouldn't be, you know, if it's occurring. But what's really I've found, and you're going to correct me or agree with me here, over the last several months or even going back, you know, years, under these wiretapping laws, organizations are claiming damages or abuse or whatever they need to be right under the SIPA and the other sort of things to use not just privacy regulations as they're written today, but also older laws to bring lawsuits against organizations saying, hey, you're not properly honoring my cookies. Do I have that right? Is that what you were going to get at earlier when you brought up SIPA? So now detail that. Now it's a good time.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, the state privacy laws came along and they said, literally say that, like, it's an opt-out regime. And then you have professional litigators coming along and using an old wiretapping law to say, oh, you're collecting cookies on me without notifying me first or allowing me to opt in. And they get put underneath scrutiny from an older law, which opt-in versus an opt-out environment is completely different. In an opt-in environment is so much harder to implement than an opt-out environment. So it has a lot of implications for the businesses doing it, especially if you're a business just operating in the U.S., because under the state privacy laws, it's easier to do the opt-out and it has less effect on your cookies. But with the SIPA law being used as a loophole, now your organization is not only getting fined, but you're also having to change your whole entire consent model. You're losing the analytics, all the cookie data on top of it. So it's very interesting. Like, you know, they are using this old law as a loophole. And I think the regulators are seeing this because there is a bill in draft regulations that is trying to get rid, like they're trying to amend it so that professional litigators can't use that loophole anymore underneath the SIPA law. So.
Okay.
I think regulators are aware of it and they're trying to fix it, but right now organizations just don't know how to fight it, or this hasn't actually gone all the way through like a use case to where businesses can rely on that to say, okay, well, no, SIPA don't apply to us.
Okay. That's helpful. I also have heard of, and I usually get it backwards, it's either trap and trace. Yeah, it's trap and trace, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same thing? SIPA, or is that something else? Because I know there was like...
Okay. I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Okay.
Yeah.
But you've heard the term trap and trace, right?
I have heard the term trap and trace.
Maybe that's what they're talking about with the litigation. So, okay, we'll move on to the next point then.
Okay.
In closing, what do you recommend companies do? Given the wiretapping law, given the phase two failures we've seen in so many organizations. What do you recommend companies do when they're onboarding these solutions or when they're building themselves? You know, where's the disconnect and how can it be solved before it's too late or before it's a issue that's costing organizations?
Yeah. And there's a lot of recommendations, but I think the first one is definitely making sure you select the right cookie consent solution. You as an organization, you might have a lot of websites that you manage. Those are all managed under different website platforms. And sometimes these cookie consent solutions aren't compatible with all those website platforms. So make sure you pick the right solution there. Make sure you come to the table with the right questions. Next is understand scoping as a business, like scope your websites appropriately. So look at your websites and see the audience that you're serving. So you know what laws you have to apply or have to comply with. The next one is once you do have that cookie consent solution, this is key. I would make sure you understand everything within the vendor documentation about how to implement and make sure you understand that there is vendor documentation and you're just not following steps on what you think is supposed to be happening, but you're actually following all the steps that the vendor is specifying to you. And then I would say with the SIPA stuff, make sure you get a trusted advisor or some type of outside counsel or a legal opinion on how you should be handling that. Because there are a lot of SIPA claims, but like you said earlier, or we said earlier, under the privacy law, it's an opt-out regime, but these SIPA claims are coming around. So just make sure you understand the risk and get some type of professional opinion on how to mitigate that risk. If that means going to an opt-in regime, to completely nullify that, do that, or if you just want to say, hey, we were complying with the state privacy laws and we don't want to comply under the SIPA loophole, then take that option as well.
Got it. Good summary.
Thanks.
And I'll be the one to make the shameless plug here. You also can use a consulting firm to help you implement it and configure it correctly, whether that be us or others. You know, we're not the only one out there, but yeah. Compliance Point and Michael himself have specialized and helped many an organization with this very issue. So if you're listening or watching and this is a problem you're having, reach out. We'd be happy to have a conversation. You can find us at compliancepoint.com. You can email us at connect@compliancepoint.com. Michael, when's the last time you're on LinkedIn?
You know what? I'll say today. My cookie information is on LinkedIn.
There you go. So you can try reaching out to Michael. It might be better to reach out to me. I check it at least daily. But yeah, please, we'd love to have a conversation. And Michael, I appreciate you coming on, sharing some of this. I think it's topical. I think it's important information. Hopefully people get some value out of this conversation today. And you're going to have to come back on here another time.
All right. That sounds good with me.
Thanks. All right. Be well, everybody.